So I said to her, nipples aren't meant to hold that kind of weight. You really shouldn't attach them with a cord to your piano. Are we on the air?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Guys, you should tell me if we're on the air, because that wasn't good. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show, and I do warn against attaching your nipples to your piano. I got to get out of this somehow. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, I don't know what to tell you at this point. You kind of snuck up on me there. you clicked very, very softly. You clicked very softly. I didn't even know you were there. Usually I can hear the click or it sends a little shockwave to my body and I know someone's clicked on me. But that was like, how did you do that? That was very strange. You must have a wireless mouse. Are terms that I did not grow up with. I must admit I'm a little older than 7 years old, and I don't know a lot of these terms. They're still very odd to me when they come out of my mouth. When I say things like "you clicked on me," it's very off-putting. I don't know what I just said, and then I'm talking about a wireless mouse. I mean, when I was growing up, I saw a mouse like in our house. Feels like a Dr. Seuss show. I saw a mouse in our house when I was growing up, my parents' house, and it had nothing to do with computers. It was wireless, yes. I just whole thing. That's how someone came up to me and said, "Ron, you've been tagged on Facebook," and I said, "I don't understand you. Speak English. Choose your words differently. I know what tag is. I used to play that as a kid. Someone used to tap me on the shoulder or shove me on the back and say, tag, you were it. And I still didn't know what that meant. I'm it what? You're touching me and you're telling me I am it. What am I? I don't understand your little game. Now, what am I supposed to do? Run after you and touch you on the shoulder? Is this a game? This is rather stupid. But that was a game called Tag when I was growing up. Now I'm being tagged on Facebook, which I don't understand it. I guess someone said something about me behind my Facebook back, behind my face back. They said it to me behind my face. I don't understand what you're talking about. I really do. Ron, what platform do you use? I don't really use a platform. Why would I have a, sometimes I'll stand on a stage if I'm doing a little stand-up comedy or something, but is that what you're talking about? No. Oh, you're so stupid, Ron. You're so stupid. How old are you? 7. I'm 7. Going on a lot more than that. I'm 7 years old. At least I'm considerably older than the president, who is a 5-year-old douchebag. Thank you very much. How did it come to that? You know what? Yes, I am disrespecting that gentleman, quote unquote, who sits in that office, because I've never heard such disrespectful crap coming out of one person's mouth in my life. And this guy's the president. I don't know who's responsible for this. I want them in my office by 7 o'clock tomorrow. Clean out your desk. Who's responsible for this? I wish this country was run like a company. I really do. So that I could call Donald Dickweed into my office and say, Donald, you have caused a lot of trouble around here. You are upsetting the company. We're losing money. Sure, you can print all the money you want, but that's embezzlement. Everybody you touch turns to a prisoner in some type of a penitentiary. You're a despicable, spoiled child who calls people's names and degrades them. You're destroying the company and the entire structure of the company. We can't sell crap because of you. You're fired. Get your stuff, put it in a cardboard box, and get your tail out of here. We're going to send security up to your office and keep an eye on you so you don't take any more toilet paper home. Get out of here, Trump. You've destroyed this company. I have a good mind to throw you in jail, but I can't because it's all the space is taken up by everybody that you know. Get your stuff and get out of here, you low-life, destructive child. You're so stupid, too. You're so stupid. That's what I would say if I ran a company and he was in it. By the way, Don, you're extremely delusional. You are. You think you're the king of Prussia or something. What's wrong with you? You know, I make fun of him because he's so make-funnable. But I'll tell you something. It's a very scary situation. I truly believe, I don't know why, but I truly believe that this Donald guy is somehow in bed with Putin. And I'm not talking about literally in bed with him because I'm not sure I can actually form that image in my head. There's an image of Putin sitting naked on a horse just about. I think the horse is naked too. And I can't get that image out of my head, much less Donald Trump completely naked, riding bareback, holding on to Putin's chest as they go riding off into the sunset, both naked on a naked horse. Somehow, that just kills any type of sexual urge I've ever had in my life. But I don't know why they're so buddy-buddy. It's like Putin is you know, in those movies and stuff where they put a little earpiece in somebody's ear and then there's somebody like about a mile away and they're whispering words to say to, you know, Donald, tell her that you love her. I love you. What do I say next? Tell her that she smells wonderful. You know, one of those things where there's like a wireless thing and, and Trump's being told what to say by Putin. I think that's what it is because Donald is saying everything that all of Putin's talking points. Donald lets Russia interfere in the elections. He lets them invade countries. He says to Turkey, go into Syria. I don't care. Russia, you want to go into Syria? Putin, Vlad, do you want to go into the Middle East again? It's been since the early 70s you were in there. You want to go in? Go on. Get in the country. Go on. Get into Syria and start getting your troops in there. Go on. I don't care anymore. I love you. I love you, Vladimir. I love you. I have that picture of you naked on that horse in my bedroom. I love you. I love you, Vladimir. I love you. It's amazing. It's amazing. I don't know what they have on Trump. I can't imagine. I think Donald really wants to be a dictator. He said this so many times. He wants to be a dictator. He admires Vladimir. He admires King Jong-un. North Korea. He admires the Chinese president. He's going to be president for life in China. Don loves that idea. He even said that. He calls upon them for help to help him win elections, even though Don says, I don't need any help. He stands there on television. We all heard him. I could play it for you right now. Says, Russia, if you're listening, if you have the emails, give them to me. And then he actually says, yeah, there's nothing wrong with asking other countries to dig up dirt on a political opponent in our country. China, you chime in too if you got anything. Ukraine, you want your money there? You want your defense money there? Well, I don't know, make a statement on CNN saying that we're doing some investigations. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. You're not supposed to do that. Read the Constitution, Don. You can't do that kind of thing. Then he goes around the world and he tries to break up NATO, which Vladimir's been trying to do forever. Make everything weaker. Make the West weaker. And Donald actually performs Vladimir's bidding. I'll break up NATO and I'll cause all kinds of trouble and you can go invade any country you want. And Donald, Dan, are you stupid? What are you doing? You're undoing everything. And not one Republican stands up and says, well, yeah, this isn't really right. Not one of them. Not one of them. Oh, God. It's scary stuff, man. It's definitely on a path to going back to the king thing, to going back to the dictator thing, or the thing that we broke away from England for. No kings here, no monarchy. Yet Trump himself puts his own children into positions in his government and actually says, he actually said this. He said, and maybe someday my children can become president. We can continue. What, Donald? No, you don't understand. You're not supposed to do this. I laugh, but it's pathetic. I don't understand what's going on. I really don't. And the only way to change it is to have an election. Let's have it right now. Let's have it right now. I don't care if there's nobody running against him. Let's have it right now. I think he'll still lose. All right, enough about him. He consumes me. Have you noticed that? He consumes me. Ron, don't let him consume you. I can't help it. The guys in the White House in the country that I live in. Do you understand that? Well, Ron, you've got to go about your life, you know, and I do. But he makes us weaker every time he opens his mouth. He thinks he's a stand-up comedian. He goes to various towns and cities across the U.S. He's done this even before he started campaigning. I mean, he did this the first year he became president. He's going to be president for 4 years. Why are you still campaigning, Don? Everybody used to ask him, why are you campaigning? It's your first year as president. You're the president, okay? I don't know how this happened, but you're the president. Why are you still going to convention halls and campaigning? I'll tell you why. He loves to stand up in front of audiences that will kiss his ass. Those are the only ones that show up. And he does his little comedy routine. He calls people by nicknames that are insulting. And the crowd loves that. It's like watching Don Rickles. Rest his soul. He loves doing that. And then the crowd laughs because they're ass kissers. And he loves that. He loves to feel the adulation and the love because he doesn't get it from anywhere else. He doesn't know what that is. He has no idea what compassion is. His only definition of compassion is how many people love me. So he does these convention tour things in these big halls because he does his comedy bit. He does his insult humor. This man who is spending a large salary and risking our lives, he spends the entire weekend tweeting 100 times about all the stuff he hates. He's an insult comic. He thinks he is. I'm serious. He loves that. He gets off on that. All right, now you talk. Okay, fine. Got nothing to say? Fine. All right, coming up a little bit later, we have a doctor on the program. Is there a doctor in the program? The doctor is going to tell us about how we can eat better. It is the winter. Did you notice that? Hey, how about in California? It's snowing. Really? I mean, I don't know if it's snowing today, but it's been snowing over the past few weeks on and off in California. Excuse me? I told you everything was all wrong. Seriously. Are you kidding me? It's snowing in California? This is something's wrong. I don't know what it is. Something. Who do I call? Who do I call? Give me a phone number. Give me an email address. Who do I contact here to complain about this? So it's the winter, and I get very scared of the winter because that's when I eat even more than I do during the summer. I'm not a salad guy. I'm really not. Someone comes up to me and says, Ron, let's go out to lunch. We'll get a nice salad. First of all, I say, I don't know who you are. And secondly, I'm not going to sit at a table and eat salad in front of you. That is not pleasurable to me in the least. And I don't eat salad when I'm not with you, and I'm not going to eat salad with you. So let's just drop the whole concept, shall we? I don't do salads. I know they're very healthy until you put shit in it, and then you put salad dressing on it, then it's not healthy anymore. So, no. And then the winter comes, and it's time for comfort food. You know what comfort food is? Foods that have large amounts of fat in them. That's comfort. Surrounding yourself by fat, like some type of whale, like you've got to smother yourself in blubber. But that's what comfort food is. Salty, fatty crap. I'm serious. Really. And then the holidays, you know, oh my God, the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, got to eat everything in sight. And after we've stuffed ourselves to the point where we're bloated like a Macy's Day balloon, then we shove pies down our throat and eat all kinds of sugars and sweets and cookies. And the hell's wrong with you? And then then comes New Year's Eve, and you say, I get it. This has got to stop. I am not going to eat this crap anymore. And that's your resolution every single year. And one day into the new year, and you're sitting there eating pies and macaroni and cheese and comfort food, you know, to get you through the winter, and salty soups. And oh, come on, God, what's wrong with you? Notice how I pin this all on you. So I thought it would be apropos, try spelling that word, to have a doctor on the show today to tell us just how despicable we actually are and how we can probably eat better. And it's not really what you eat. Well, it is. But it's when you eat it. When do I eat this? When do I wait for someone to walk up to me and slap it out of my hand? That's what they should do at McDonald's. They should hire people, because McDonald's should be hiring a lot of people anyway, and they do. They should hire people to walk around the little table area at McDonald's, and every time a kid or an adult takes a chicken nugget and starts to put it up to their lips, these employees come over and smack the food away from you, smack it right out of your hand. Let that food go flying all over the dirty floor. You're not going to eat that nugget anymore. Just slap that crap out of people's hands. I know it's pass interference. It's similar to football, but at the same time, you're saving a lot of people's lives. And there's nothing wrong with fat shaming. There really isn't, unless you have a condition, unless it's a thyroid condition or something like that. Don't fat shame people that can't help it. But if someone's sitting there with nuggets in their hand, so to speak, or Whopper Seniors, then there's no excuse. You can fat shame them. You can slap the food out of their hand and say, what's wrong with you, you fat piece of blubber? You can do that, but not if they have a medical condition. Then you are wrong. You're nasty. They can't help it. They're suffering. They're hurting. Don't do that. Discern who you're going to fat shame first. Some celebrity got really, I think it was Bill Maher. He got blasted by the media because he was talking about fat shaming. He said, if you see someone, just what I said, if you see someone who's eating fatty food, just slap it out of their hand and then fat shame them. That'll stop them. And then all these, you know, all these people said, you know, the media and all these listeners said, oh, no, don't. Some people have medical conditions. You can't do that. And it's true, Bill. It's true, Bill. You can't go saying things like that, because there are people that are really struggling with their weight, and food is a real addiction. It's worse than crack. I mean, I've never been on crack or anything like that. I've seen cracks in walls and things, but you can plaster those babies together. But I'm talking about crack. I've never been on a drug like that, so I don't know what it's like to be addicted to that extent. But I have sat in front of the TV and made 55 trips to the refrigerator, eating everything in sight. Now, I'm not a large, fat man, but I understand that undying urge to put something in your mouth. I get it. So the doctor is here. Let's go to him. But we're going to do that right after this short little commercial break. And then we're back. Then we're back with more. Do you like water?
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques.
Aquamira.
Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats.
Aquamira.
Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Aquamira.
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Dr. Michael Krupain joins us now. And we've got what to eat when. Those are some questions that I've been asking since I was born, pretty much. That's a difficult one. You understand, I understand, you love to cook. You're like a chef.
Well, cooking is one of my passions, yeah. So I'm a physician, but I've always loved to cook in medical school before I used to work in some restaurants for fun.
If cooking is your passion, you are a chef. That's the way I look at it. All right. Yeah, it's the new year and all that stuff and the resolutions and all that, but that makes no difference to me. Every day is a kind of an internal struggle for many people, especially those over a certain age where you just gain weight every year just for the hell of it and you can do absolutely nothing differently and you're still going to gain. So we're all concerned about that, and then we're concerned about our health. We're living longer, and we want to make sure that those years are healthy ones and not painful ones. So we're always looking for a plan of action on how to eat well, what choices to make.
Yeah, so we wrote this book to help people, like everyone who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And most people focus on what they eat, but we thought it was important to start thinking about when we eat.
Interesting.
So not just what, but also the when. And it all has to do with our circadian rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and that's sort of our body's internal clock. And the job of your circadian rhythm is to get your body to do the right thing at the right time. Then we actually have to do that. But what our body does is it expects us to do certain things at certain times. So we all kind of know our circadian rhythm is important for sleep. You know, like if we travel to another time zone, we get jet lagged because we're throwing off our body's clock. Well, it turns out our circadian rhythm regulates just about everything,
mm-hmm.
and including our metabolism. So our metabolism actually changes throughout the day, so it actually expects us to eat early in the day. So when the sun is shining, our circadian rhythm is set by the sun.
Right.
And if you think back to ancient times, we had the sun and we didn't have electricity or anything, so we kind of had to live by it.
Right.
So we evolved that way, so that our body expects us to eat more early and less later. So that's sort of the big picture. What we recommend is you eat with the sun, and you make breakfast and lunch your largest meals and dinner your smallest. So we say basically Americans have to flip their day upside down because most of us eat most of our calories at night.
True. That's very true. And is that because we have no chance to burn them? In other words, if you eat and then you shortly after go to sleep, then there's not that much burning going on? Is that the theory?
Well, you're still burning calories at night. You're burning a little bit less. You know, there's a recent study that showed that people are basic metabolic rates, so are sort of without any activity, how many calories we burn. It's about 10% less at night, so, it's different, but it's not it's not like it disappears at night.
All right.
But throughout the day, our metabolism does change. So there's an amazing study that was done here in the U.S. where they had people on a diet, and they had them on a low-calorie diet.
Yes.
It was about 1,400 calories.
Yes.
So, and they divided people into two groups. So one, both groups got lunch of 500 calories, but the one group got a 700-calorie breakfast and a 200-calorie dinner, and the other group got the opposite, a 200-calorie breakfast and a 700-calorie dinner.
Okay.
And they found, even though both groups ate the exact same calories, but they ate them at different times, the group that ate the big breakfast lost a lot more weight than the group that ate the big dinner. So that's because, again, our metabolism is changing. And in the morning, it's more interested in burning carbohydrates. And at night, it's more interested in burning fat. And because fat is sort of the storage form, like a long-term storage form of energy. And so since we're supposed to be not eating at night... that's what you would want to burn. You'd want to burn that fat.
Right.
But when you start eating at night, you kind of throw a wrench in this whole system, and you start storing fat instead of burning it.
All right. But what about our hunger here? Because sometimes I'm not hungry at all, and I figure, well, I won't eat if I'm not hungry. But I'm not eating when I'm supposed to eat because I'm not burning anything. But then when I do eat, I eat voraciously, and then it's like my body's saying, I can't burn all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a great question. So that's what I was really concerned when we started doing, got really into the research of this and seeing that this is the way people should eat. Mike Royce, my co-author, and I were both concerned about this. We thought, well, people are going to be hungry. And I personally have always, until now, I spent my life eating dinner as my biggest meal. In fact, I started off training to be a neurosurgeon, and that lifestyle and training led me to kind of eat all my meals at night, so I only ate once a day, really, because I didn't have time to eat the rest of the day.
Good for you.
So I would come home and I'd be starving and I would eat a lot, and I was never that hungry in the morning.
Right.
And that worked for me for a long time, but like you said, like most people, I was starting to gain a little weight.
Yeah.
And then I tried this. I switched my day. I flipped it upside down. Now I eat breakfast and lunch, and I either don't eat dinner or it's a very small meal because my appetite actually changed. And,
really?
And the literature actually suggests this is what happens. When you start eating your larger meals early, you aren't as hungry at night. So it's one of the most surprising things, I think, for people is this actually changes your appetite.
What about water? I'm always told to drink 25 gallons of water and to spend all day peeing, which is pretty much what happens, that it cuts down on my appetite if I drink water. But then now I'm finding I'm peeing all the time and I'm bloated. So I don't understand.
Well, 25 gallons might be a little much.
Well, all right. I think I was exaggerating.
But, I mean, water is important. You know, it's important that we stay hydrated. And sometimes we do, if we're not drinking enough, it sort of does affect our hunger. So that's actually one of the things that I actually personally do. If I'm starting to feel a little bit hungry, sometimes I'll have a glass of water and I won't be hungry anymore. So I think it's important. I mean, you don't want to spend all day in the bathroom, but it's good. It's good for your kidneys too to be using the bathroom throughout the day.
All right, and the big question everybody probably ask you is: okay, I feel a little bit peckish. It's nighttime. I'm not going to be moving around much. What can I eat? What can I not eat? Should I stop myself from eating? Say it's like 8 o'clock at night. You go to bed at 9, and you just want something.
Yeah. So I think eating at night is basically the worst time to eat.
Yeah.
But if you absolutely have to, I would say try drinking some water first.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're doing this the way we're suggesting, you're probably not going to be that hungry.
Okay.
Or you can think about if maybe you want to stop eating, you know, a good 3 to 4 hours or more before you go to
bed. That's a lot.
So, you know, but if you're starting loading your calories early, then you won't. Be that hungry, but if you absolutely are, if you're famished and you have to eat something, then you got to do what you got to do. I would recommend some crunchy vegetables, or we like roasted chickpeas, something that has a lot of fiber and a lot of crunch, so it's satisfying and filling. And then, what I like to say is with this, because your circadian rhythm is set by the sun, every day you have a chance to start again and get better. So if you eat at night and it's not the end of the world, just try again the next day.
Yeah. Because, see, people, I think, tend to get fat in the winter because they're not moving around as much. And yet it gets dark early, especially, you know, with the, in the East. So it's kind of a conundrum. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're a psychologist or not. It may play into this, but very quickly, some people eat just to occupy themselves, especially when they're watching television, no matter what time of day it is. They can't idly just sit there.
Yeah, no, I think, well, you've raised a good point. So in the winter, it is, we aren't moving around as much, and also the sun is setting earlier, so our metabolism is probably, is changing, right? We're more into a storing mode in the winter. Yeah. So it's better to eat even earlier in the winter, again, eating with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things about the psychology of eating the way we're recommending, by making your meals earlier, is you have to actually think about it a little bit. So we say to eat your dinner for breakfast, so I'll make dinner, and if I'm really hungry, I'll eat a little bit, and I'll save the rest for the next day.
I get it.
Especially, like, I love pasta. We're not anti-carbohydrates or anything, so I like to make pasta at night, and then I'll eat it the next day for breakfast or for lunch.
Nice.
And there's an extra benefit to that, because when pasta or potatoes, starchy things, cool, some of that starch, which is sugar, it turns into something called resistant starch, which is more like a fiber than like a sugar, so it actually is better for you.
All right.
So a little hack there.
That's
cool. But when you're doing this, when you have to think about this a little bit more than you might be used to, you start planning a little bit, and then you realize, you know, then you maybe don't eat when you're not supposed to, because you've actually put a little bit of thought into it.
Well, I could talk to you for hours, because there's a lot here, but this is a book I definitely want to read. It's What to Eat When Makes All the Sense in the World, and it could actually change your whole life and your lifestyle. So, Dr. Krupin, thank you so much for your time today. Is there a website?
Yeah,
is there a website we can visit very quickly?
Yeah, our website is wenway.com.
Great. Thank you, doctor.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, there you go. I've been eating wrong. I've been eating wrong. No one told me. My mother never told me I ate wrong. Ronnie, you're eating wrong. Put the food in your mouth. I did not know I was eating wrong. And you're eating the wrong foods at the wrong times, with the wrong fork in the wrong place, with the wrong people. It's the wrong food. Everything's wrong. Everything you do is wrong when it comes to eating. It's so wrong. You're wrong. You are a wrong eater. You don't know how to do it right. That's my mother's voice, very gruff, very gruff. She was not a smoker, by the way. I mean, everybody, when I was growing up, everybody smoked. Even fetuses, they smoked. Now, nobody smokes. So my mother, like, socially, someone came over. We had a cigarette box in the living room, and like 2-year-old stale cigarettes. People still smoke them. They didn't care. So she'd have a cigarette then, but she was never a smoker by herself or anything. She didn't have that gruff thing. But when I use her voice, I give her a gruff voice, because I do that wrong too. Hey, have yourselves a wonderful day. Thank you for spending the time with me. I really appreciate it. I get very lonely otherwise. I just sit here at the microphone waiting for someone to click on me. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. That's pathetic. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow anytime you want. Very special show tomorrow. Yeah, we're going to talk about, it's going to be cool. We have two experts from the London area in England who have a very interesting twist on things and on life itself. You won't want to miss that. That's tomorrow's program. Until then, I wish you peace.